Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of 1 Samuel, we finished chapter 1. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom starts with chapter 2 today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Foundation for the Bible stands.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 as we go through this book of 1 Samuel. And I hope that it's going to be a big and special blessing to each of you, and it will be edifying to all those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, also, I'm recording today the day after the 2012 presidential elections. And being a fundamentalist and being a conservative, I've been around people most of today that are just in the depths. The Antichrist has come, the world is at an end, and everything else is going wrong, and so I don't know. But the sun did come up today down here, and it seems to be all right at this point. And every Christian has to remember, God is in control. Now, we were not electing our spiritual leader. You never vote for your spiritual leader, okay? And so that doesn't happen. You do try to vote for people that best represent principles that would not go against the Word of God. For example, things as homosexual marriage, things as paying for abortions, and things like the okay of smoking pot and things of that nature. We realize what that's going to do to our country. But I hope that more and more of our Christians see that maybe that's the problem, is that we're trying to correct problems with prayer for leaders and prayer for conservatives to get elected, and we're working like crazy night and day for conservatives to get elected, but we're not trying to work at all to bring souls to the Savior. We're not working to try to win these people to Christ. For example, let's just say that you that are listening to me today are the opposite side of the coin from our president and his administration. Do you spend more time running it down, getting upset about it, than you do praying for their salvation? Now, I personally, you don't write me about this. I just personally believe that both men who were running for president at this time were not saved. One was a Mormon. The other one thinks there's many roads to heaven. And so I just believe that for anyone to look at that as our salvation, as either side of the ticket, or to look at it even as something that was, one was spiritual and the other wasn't, and one was good and the other wasn't. No, you're never looking for your spiritual leader in an election. So let me point that out, and I hope that doesn't chase you away from our broadcast today, because we are more consumed with teaching the Word of God. And I hope that you will follow us. I hope that you'll write us and let us know that you are listening each day to our broadcast, and let us know how it's edifying for you. If you have a biblical question, a doctrinal question, please write us. We would love to hear from you and do our best to answer your questions. As you know, we each year, usually around December, we have a question-answer period in which we answer the questions of listeners who have either emailed us or mailed us a letter. And I would love to answer your questions. So write, and perhaps the 2013 question-answer period will have your question on it, which we answer. Now, whether I answer your question or not, we do our best to write you an answer to your question, even if it's not on our radio broadcast. Well, if you have your Bibles ready, we're going to go into 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, looking first of all here is verses 1 through 11, we see the prayer of Hannah. Now, don't forget, Hannah has just finished praying for this baby, Samuel, and God gave her the baby, and the baby is born, and she is dedicated unto God, but she doesn't go back to the place of worship until she can come back and leave Samuel there. So she'll have him 3 or 4 years until she weans him, and then she'll send him in, and that's where Samuel will stay. And so, having had this child, Hannah has a prayer here. And so that's what the first 10 verses here are of this chapter. It's a prayer. And we could call it a hymn and a psalm of praise. And it's more than just an obligatory thank you for doing this. It seems to be that it's her heart that rejoices because she knows it is of all of God's grace. Notice in verse 1 she says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." So she's been given victory over her enemy. Now, who is her enemy? Well, we look in 1 Samuel 1:6, "And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." And so Peninnah, the other wife of her husband, is giving her grief. She's putting her down, you know, and telling her she's not really a woman to not be able to bear children for their husband, Elkanah. And so she's happened to suffer through this quite a bit. And then when you look in chapter 1, verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. Now, can't you see that the sons and daughters of Peninnah are also joining in and provoking and unmercifully attacking Hannah? So she's under it. Her enemies are coming after her. But now, her son will be the one who has a name in Israel. However, it's because she rejoices in the salvation God gives. Now, I could take children to an amusement park and enjoy them having fun and having a good time. But my greater joy would be to take my own grandchildren and watch them have fun. I remember my first granddaughter was about 3 years old, and we went to an amusement park with her mother and dad and others that were involved in the family. I forget how many of us were there, but somehow or another, I helped her get on a ride and rode with her. When we got off the ride, everybody was gone. Now, I'm the kind of guy, when I go to an amusement park, I'm the one that likes to get on the big roller coasters and the big rides. I love that. I really do. But now I have a 3-year-old, and you cannot get on those things. Well, for the next hour and a half to 2 hours, I was on little kiddie rides with my little granddaughter. But to me, that was one of the greatest days. That just made it worth it all. What a great day that was for me. And what made it the difference, the little kiddie rides? Of course not. The relationship made the difference. Well, Peninnah rejoiced to have children when Hannah could not. Now Hannah rejoices that her child was from God and would serve God. She's not looking at Samuel just as an answer to get even with her enemy, Peninnah, because I think she's come to the fact that she realizes Peninnah is not her enemy, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so we go on into verse 2, and it says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Well, Hannah's son is born. His name is Samuel. And she has poured out her heart to God, and he gave her this son. What started out as a matter of womanly pride turned the corner in all her prayer and meditation. We see that in verse 11 of chapter 1. "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord God of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." So now it was not wanting a child only. She is now specifically asking for a man-child that she might give it for God's glory in the Lord's house. Now, she has seen the reality of God. She's been there, and she's been so much in prayer over this thing. Now it's progressed to where now she's coming to know the Lord in a more deep and relational way, in that it's a heart relationship with God. Now, she was called by Eli, the man of God. She was called down for seeming as if she was a drunk person, because he saw her praying and saw her lips moving, but no words coming out. Well, nobody has to hear you pray except God, and he hears the heart, and that's what was going on. She was praying, her lips were moving, no voice was coming out of her mouth, but loud words were coming from her heart to God. But, you know, it reminds me of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where we're told, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, if you're going to have an excess of something, have an excess of the Holy Spirit of God having all of you. And so, here we see that she's not drunk with wine, but she's filled with the Spirit. Eli looked at her and thought, "This lady, she's drunk." Why? Because something was controlling her. Well, he was right. Something was controlling her, but it wasn't wine. It was the Holy Spirit of God. You know, others can see when we are controlled by something. When Eli recognizes the hand of God, he says, "Go in peace." At this point, she has received God's answer, and now she is at peace. And so a lot of times, you know, people wonder, what is behind that person? What makes them tick? But friend, I think that you'll find out that a drunk person, out of their mouth comes filth, comes all kind of unintelligible things and filthy things and all nonsense. But when a person that is drunk in the Spirit, you might say filled with the Spirit, then out of their mouth comes things of God. And that's noticeable when the people get there. They may at first say that you're controlled by something, but as they talk to you, they realize you're controlled by the Lord. Hey, does people know through their conversation and being around us that God has control of our personal life? This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.